This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast. And on this, the last podcast of, well, not the 2018 season, but the Indians 2018 season, it's over now. We're going to just basically talk about that. The ALDS happened. It wasn't very fun at all. You can turn off the lights on the 2018 season for the Indians now. I wasn't expecting to do back-to-back an end of the 2018 regular season podcast and then an end of the postseason podcast, but that's what we're doing now. So joining me for that, of course, is Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
I got to watch a minute and a half of this game today.
Because of that great scheduling time, right?
There are so many disappointing things about this entire series. We're talking about, of course, about the Indians' ALDS performance where they got swept. But chief among them is, I got to watch one whole game, and it was a Saturday afternoon game. And today, as the Indians' season ended, I was picking up heavy cream and cheese and pizza dough and beer. Actually, I think I'd realized it was already over because it was already 10 to 2 or something like that. I was like, well, what's the point? So I just bought a bunch of beer and went home. Anyway, that's how the season ended for me, Matt. But it was very, just very irritating.
I don't know if it's better or worse than the rest of us, what we had to watch. No, that was pretty bad.
I was able to tune in this and that, and, you know, a couple times during work because I happen to have TBS, you know, so I could use my phone to watch it for a minute or two here. But, like, what is the point? How is this marketing? How is this marketing the sport if you're playing playoff games at 1:30 in the afternoon? Like, there's time. Play it at 4:30. Yeah. So you can at least watch half the game. What, they don't play night games anymore? What is this?
Well, there's games all day today. There's 1:30, 4:30, and 7:30.
Well, play them at the same time. Yeah, people don't want to watch all the games. No one wants to watch 17 hours of baseball. No psychopath wants to watch that much baseball. I'm sorry. I like this sport. But on opening day, I'll watch two, maybe three games, including the Indians game. And other than that, like, Jesus Christmas.
Yeah. You know, the worst part about the fact that they put the Red Sox and Yankees at every primetime game is the Indians kind of proved them right with how they played and how the series turned out. Because, like, the Red Sox Yankees had the highest since, I think it was like 2008 or something. The ratings were huge.
Yeah.
And then the Indians, like, imagine if this was primetime. That seemed like a waste. These three games, the Indians were just dominated. So I really want them to at least, like, prove MLB wrong about putting them so low. But turns out they were right. The Indians were not even close to the Astros, and now it's over.
I feel like such a moron. I was so excited for this series, too. Like, oh, these pitching staffs are going to be great, and the Indians bolstered their lineup. And I said on actual terrestrial radio, I thought the Indians would take it in four. Instead, they just got beaten to death in three.
Yeah, because it wasn't – I mean, you missed the only good six innings the Indians had all series. The first six innings of this game, they were barely winning it, but it felt like a real game. Mm-hmm. Like, the others didn't at all. Like, Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole just completely destroyed the Indians. But today they were at least able to hit and sort of look like an offense against Dallas Keuchel. Francisco Lindor bunted, which is really infuriating in such a game. He's the only one that hit, and then he came up with two on, nobody out, and he bunts. And it was just the worst. It opened the scoring, but clearly they're going to need more than one run to beat the Astros, who just scored 11 on them. So giving away that out felt really dumb, especially for Lindor when he homered later, too. So
I missed Carrasco's start last year because I was at a wedding, so at least I got to watch that one. And he was really good, too, and it's just the bullpen. So many things just went so badly. The lineup just took the wrong week off. Like you said, Lindor not hitting.
No, Lindor was the only one hitting.
I'm sorry, only Lindor hitting. Excuse me. Sorry. Oh, God.
I was going to say, how dare you do my boy Lindor like that?
The only offense of the entire team. Yan Gomes getting a hit. Yandy Diaz getting a hit. Not playing Yandy Diaz in favor of... I don't remember who said... I don't even know where I read it. One of you other Let's Go Tribe writers said it somewhere. It would be so absurd and hilarious if they re-signed Melky Cabrera at the end of the day, during the offseason.
Like, oh, I'm terrified of that happening.
Oh, it's totally going to happen. I'm going to be so mad because what a pointless player.
Yeah, that's good a good him. Way...
He's made a lot of money in his career, and you know what? He's going to have the MLB pension for playing for a decade, so good for him. But go away. Get out of here. Makes kicking motion.
Everybody has their own little I told you so things. Mine, and I know a few other people on Twitter, is definitely Melky Cabrera, because when he was hitting all those good – when he was good for like a week after the Indians brought him back, especially Mike Hattery was another one who was on it. like the fact that he's hitting well. So he was hitting so well then was going to cost the Indians in October because they were just going to suddenly keep him on the roster.
Yeah.
Based on a few weeks in the regular season. And look what happened. Game two, he had a really bad defensive play.
I feel like you and I talked about that like twice or three times just on this very show.
Yeah, it's awful. It's it really sucks. And they're probably going to bring him back. And Rajai Davis, sure, why not? It's weird that Melky wasn't even on the team all year long. They got rid of him at one point. And then it was like, come on back.
Yeah.
It's fine. We need you back.
So what good things happened? Let's think about this. Mike Clevinger looked really good in his playoff. It was his pitch playoff debut, right? Yeah, it was his playoff starting debut. Oh, I think it was any debut at all. And he looked very, very good. Most strikeouts of any Indian in the history of their playoff debut. So that's something.
Yeah, that's it. Lindor had a couple home runs, but I don't think he didn't hit super well, did he? He just had a couple home runs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he hit one a day, one the other day, and then just
Garrett. There were a couple good defensive plays. Does that count? Josh Donaldson had one. Jose Ramirez fell over and made a double play. That was good.
Were we fooling ourselves into thinking that Justin Verlander was the same Justin Verlander that they feasted on the last several years, or in fact that Justin Verlander is in fact even a bad pitcher?
No, I still think. He was bad against the Indians, the old Justin Verlander. This is just not the same Verlander that was on the Tigers. I'm not with Trevor Bauer that they're like cheating, but I think there's definitely something the Astros are doing, whether it's just something they found to get higher spin rates or just really good coaching. But they've taken Justin Verlander to another level maybe it's just scouting something, but this isn't the same Justin Verlander. I think the Indians legitimately like had his number on the Tigers, but he's just not the same pitcher anymore. He's so good, and he's so good in the postseason.
How much of that is sample size, though? How much are we tricking ourselves?
I mean, it's not a small one. It's like every, I don't know, it just seemed like every single bad game he had was against the Indians. No, so right, it almost doesn't seem like, I know it's a coincidence, probably in the grand scheme of things, you're right, but
I hate the grand scheme of things. Why can't things go right in this small scheme of things? Damn.
That's what I want.
The Astros are really good. I hope they win the World Series now.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. You don't normally. The last 2 years, the teams that beat the Indians. Obviously, in 2016, I really didn't want the other team to win the World Series.
Definitely not. Still not.
But last year, it was the Yankees. And I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing a repeat team this year. And I also wouldn't mind seeing the Astros win at home. I looked it up just for the heck of it. I think it was since like 2013 when the Red Sox won. They won at home. Mm-hmm. That's also what I want. I want another team to win at home. Because the Red Sox, that was like their third World Series. Who cares?
Yeah,
I guess it's the Astros second in a row, but. Still like the Astros more than the Red Sox. So.
Oh, they got fun players. That Alex Bregman, man, he turned into a superstar. My goodness gracious. Why can't the Indians?
And it's really easy to say that they. What?
That's all I'm saying. They need more hitting.
Oh. Yeah. I was going to say it's easy to say that they won just because they tanked, but you can really screw up a tank job.
Definitely.
Real good.
I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a current example right now that's a bit off the top of my. I don't know. I don't think the Phillies have...
The White Sox might be heading that.
Maybe. I mean, one of their pitchers, as long as two of their pitchers hit and some of their hitters hit, they'll be okay. But like the Phillies, maybe? I don't know. The Phillies' timing may be really bad more than anything else, especially if the Braves really just go kind of meteoric on this. And if the Nationals actually spend some money and stick around, because that's a kind of a tough road to hoe right there. Same thing with the Marlins. I mean, I don't know. The Marlins are lost 98 games this year.
That's another level. Didn't the Marlins attempt, not the Marlins, the Phillies attempt one rebuild under Ruben Amaro Jr. at the very end, and then it completely failed? Like the whole Dominic Brown
group. Sort of. I mean, they tried to plow in young players to kind of supplement the older guys they had, but one of those older guys was still Ryan Howard. I mean, we forget that he just left that team like a year ago. So... You know, he's been hanging around like a big old lead weight for a long, long time now. I'm trying to think of other rebuilds that may have gone side. I don't know. The Angels kind of weird retooling this year, and they ended up having a losing season again. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I guess you could also say they're one that's like stuck in the middle, and the Astros made the conscious decision to tank and try to get good draft picks, which is better than just sticking around the middle forever.
I have read that the Reds' quote-unquote tank is going poorly, but I don't know. I mean, I kind of figured they're still in the middle of things, and if any time is the right time to be bad in the NL Central, right now is that time, because you're the exact opposite of everyone else, so maybe they're doing everything right. I don't know.
I guess. Yeah. Are they intentionally still in the middle of being bad, though? I mean, they had Hamilton. They had Joey Votto, yeah, who's like one of the best Hamilton players.
Sucks. I mean.
Well, I mean, they he had a chance to be good, right? Wasn't he sort of highly touted?
He continues to be great defensively. It's just his bat never turned around. I would say, if anything, Hamilton is, along with Votto, is the last vestige of their previous good run, like when they had Bruce and Cueto and Homer Bailey and who else was on that team? Madison Volquez was a pitcher on that team, I believe. And Bronson Arroyo was kicking around for a while. Brandon Phillips, you know, that whole team. Scott Rowland. Yeah, that was Scott Rowland's kind of last hurrah. One of the problems there was Scott Rowland's kind of getting hurt. So, but yeah, no, they're in the midst of another rebuild of some kind, I think.
So to parlay this into an Indians conversation, sort of, where do we think they are? Because this is a weird feeling after this game. Last year, well, in 2016, it was, this team shouldn't have been here. We made it this far. This is really cool. Let's do it again. Last year seemed like the best Indians team like ever. That seemed like one of the best teams, and they just failed. And everybody was coming back. So like, whatever, just do it again next year. But this year, there's a lot of players leaving. There's a lot up in the air. It seems like. Like, everybody's almost saying goodbye this time, which is really weird.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for that, if only because of the guys who are going to be leaving, who were such, you know, key aspects to the relatively recent run. I mean, I know Michael Brantley wasn't there in 2016, but he's also been a stalwart for a long time now. Oh, Cody Allen's leaving. I keep on forgetting that Jason Kipnis isn't leaving. He still signs through like 19 or 2020 or something like that. I keep on forgetting he's still going to be around. So, I mean, that's the thing. They are losing what, their third best bet, and they're losing a closer who used to be good. But, I mean, realistically, beyond that, they're going to be just as good next year. And I think everything, that's the most irritating part. It's just, we just went through an entire season where we were just waiting for this, and then it just happened so quickly. And again, so few people even got to watch any games. Thanks, Giant Truck. so few people even got to, just because they were on during the day, you know, like it's almost like, I don't know. There's a very weird empty feeling, kind of a weird, I don't know. It's very strange because, again, like, obviously Josh Donaldson was only here for a second. Yonder Alonso will be here next year. Edwin Encarnacion's going to be back. Lonnie Chisenhall, maybe. Is he back? I don't even remember. See, that's the thing. I don't even remember. No, I don't think so. I think he's gone.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, okay.
He's
gone. So, I mean, Brantley, Chisenhall, Santana's already gone. Again, Allen, the rest of the pitching, Miller, obviously. But the pitching staff's all, you know, the rotation's also. The Kluber's not, you know, Kluber's still there. Bauer looks like the next ace. Clevinger looked amazing today. Carrasco's still really good. We're still excited about Shane Bieber. So they're still going to have the same exact issues next year. That's almost the most frustrating part too, Matt, is we're going to have the same conversations this winter as we did last winter. What are they going to do about the outfield? Are they going to get another relief pitcher? And outside of Ramirez and Lindor, where is the core of the offense going to be?
Yeah.
And that's the cut.
And I mean, arguably this year, they're going to have less money to work with because of all the arbitration going up. Right. Lindor is going to be, he's going to be so expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, they still have some good deals around the team, but I don't know how they're going to replace, like, get a really great outfield. It all makes missing Christian Yelich seem way huger now because the whole right field is gone. Lonnie Chisenhall. Mm-hmm. Brandon Guyer, Melky Cabrera, God willing, they're all gone. Michael Brantley's gone. Center field, probably Bradley Zimmer or Greg Allen, and then one of them will shift to the other side, I guess. But they're going to have a lot of holes. They have technically like three center fielders because they'll have Leonis Martin, Greg Allen, and Bradley Zimmer, and then no corners. So it's going to be really difficult. I can't imagine they'd have the money to sign Michael Brantley back now because how much has he built himself up? He's a legit free agent outfielder, I would think, right?
No, exactly. And at this point, like, I'll be honest, I feel like they've squeezed the best out of him they can. Like, yeah, he was really, really good this year, but at what point do you keep on rolling the dice on that too? I think you try. I figured a lot would give him a qualifying offer because you have to, and you might take it, which might restrict him a little bit and would hurt with the draft pick and everything like that. But at the same time, it's if he's healthy, the value he brings back is such that it'd be a worthwhile move.
Yeah,
but yeah. I don't know. I mean, it does feel like an ending, but even though the faces are going to be so familiar next year, and like you said, the money issue is going to be the real problem here, and they don't have the windfall they did after going to the World Series in 2016 to help them sign Encarnacion, who was going to be 36 years old and already took a big step back this year. Oy vey. And they're going to win the division next year too. Like I don't see anything on the horizon really. I mean,
see, that sucks too, having that same conversation. I want to care about the regular season and division. I mean, you're completely right. They're going to win it by a million games again.
But everything went super sideways for the Twins, and they could be good again, maybe. Tigers are going to be terrible, Royals are going to be terrible, and White Sox are going to be terrible. But like, chances are they'll win the division. And like you said, we're going to have the same exact conversations this winter and go in again next year and wait for October again, I guess, which is really stupid.
It was the same thing with the Cavs for so long. I'm not a huge Cavs fan, but there was still the general feeling of regular season, who cares? The important part is getting to the playoffs and the championship, but at least they had LeBron James who could just drag him by the heels all the way to the
right.
But you can't really do that in baseball, even as good as Francisco Lindor was for a couple games. There's no like one player they have that's going to drag him all the way. So it's going to be another useless regular season where we'll just be sitting around bored. Finding things to talk about while we wait for October, and hopefully we're not gone in three games again.
And now the worst part is now too, we have a whole offseason to worry about Jose Ramirez, who for the last 2 months was terrible. I think he had an OPS under 700 or near there, and he was 0-11 in the division series. So yeah. Now, in addition to having no interesting conversations all winter, tune into our podcast every week for more interesting conversations.
Where we won't have any interesting conversations.
No, but seriously, like, now we have Jose Ramirez to worry about. And, I mean, there's obviously the fun one we're both looking forward to, which is Yandy Diaz. And at this point, now with so many things leaving, how are they going to find space to not play him, basically? You know what I mean? Like, put him in left field or something, for God's sake. Get him in the – like, he has to play now, I guess, at the very least. And that's the two silver linings that are going in the offseason is we don't have a whole lot to worry about barring injury, and then Yandy Diaz has to play because what the hell else are we doing here?
Yeah, that's going to be really frustrating if he doesn't. That's going to be, I mean, Jesus Aguilar, not Francisco Mejia maybe. This will be like a third young player.
I'm not going to sit here and worry about Francisco Mejia yet. All right,
let's the third young player in a row who was ready, and they just decided they want to keep veterans over him, and then one of them is an all-star. One of them hit two home runs in his debut and might be pretty good. And the other has ginormous biceps. So and it also sucks that these trades like didn't really work out. I think Brad Hand didn't come into like the third game, right? And then
I think he only got. Yeah, I didn't think he threw in the first two games. No, and like,
which that is super frustrating. Meanwhile, Adam Simber threw in like every game. Adam Simber.
Yeah,
and I guess Brad Hand did throw in the second game, but. But again, that was after things were way out of control anyway. So,
yeah, and of course we all have the lasting memory of Josh Donaldson not coming through in the single at bat that they traded for him for.
I mean, that was it, right? I was half joking, but on Twitter, that was like the one at bat. That's the whole reason they made that trade.
Yeah, you get the big bat for the big moment, and that was literally the moment of the entire season, and all he did was. What are you going to do? Just pop out to like second base or something like that? It was
worthless, whatever he did, yeah.
Oy vey.
That's just going to be a fun trivia fact in a few years that one of those clickbait articles, can you believe these players were on these teams? It's going to be Josh Donaldson in an Indians uniform. Melky Cabrera in an Indians uniform.
No, we'll always remember that. Don't worry. That's an indelible mark in our head of him trying to dig a ball out stuck underneath the base of the fence. Oh, God.
And then Donaldson also, there was one ball in the second game, which was a close game pretty much the whole way, that he should have let Jose Altuve's hit go foul.
Yeah.
But he, like, tried to get it and came up at an awkward angle and just launched it over Yonder Alonso.
Okay. I cannot get over how many lucky bounces the Astros got. In that, what was it, the seventh inning, I think, today, where Bauer committed two errors and that swinging bunt by Springer, like...
No, but you don't count the hours as a lucky bounce, do you? That's the other team being shitty. That's not luck for you.
Well, it's still luck. Like them screwing up in a moment when they never screw up is in a sense luck. It's still luck. Like just like Altuve's hit not going foul and Donaldson over pursuing it and just airmailing it. Like these are not obviously it's an unforced error. Well, it's an unforced error by the Indians, but it's still a lucky break in favor of the, I call a fumble still a lucky break in football, even though it's something that often is forced.
Yeah, that's true.
I hope they didn't use all their luck up against the Indians because they used a buttload of luck up against the Indians.
And if you look at that big inning today where they had so many hits and scored all the runs, like almost every single hit was way out of the zone.
Yeah.
Like they weren't even just meatballs. They were just hitting every single thing and it was going far.
They're so good. Really,
there's nothing they could do. The Indians looked terrible, but there was also, it's just a bad combination of they looked bad and there was nothing they could do against a really good team who seemed to be hitting everything.
I mean, I think they're the best team in baseball still. Like even now, like their pitching staff is still absurd. And with so many guys taking a step back offensively, they still have an MVP candidate and they still have a reigning MVP. And Carlos Correa is still very good. So.
And the pitching staff, I mean, that's pretty much where it starts for them.
Their pitching staff is so stupid. I hate it.
How do you win? I mean, Verlander and Cole alone can win a World Series.
No, exactly. You pitch them game. Yeah, you pitch them games 1, 2, 5, and 6, and there you go. there you go. Have a championship. Thanks, and then guys. Also,
former Cy Young winner Dallas Keuchel is just the third.
I love Dallas Keuchel. I'm not even gonna lie, man. He's what a throw. Like, what an anachronism. Like. Sinker ballers are dead now because the sinker itself is dead because so many hitters are so good at hitting it. But he's so successful at it. I wrote an article, what was it now, 2 years now ago about it, how no one throws more balls right on the edge of the zone than he does. Or this was in like 2016 or 17 or something like that. But he was just so good at just working just the edges of the zone. And when he's on, it's absurd. Like the way it's like a starter's version of a slightly less hard throwing who's that reliever for the A's with that six sinker? Blake Treinen.
Treinen.
Whatever. I read things, all right? I read and write. I don't speak that much.
I don't listen to words. You
kidding? I watch A's games on mute, all right? I do that while listening to classical music because I'm interesting.
Right. So are you officially rooting for the Astros at this point? Are they your...
I don't know. Not really. I mean, I think we ought to root for the Brewers first, right? Course, because beer.
and Jesus Aguilar and also August Fagerstrom, who was one of their analysts who covered the Indians for a while. He was really cool on Twitter. So there's a lot of reasons to like the Brewers, I think. They remind me a lot of the 2016 Indians, too.
I thought he worked for the Phillies.
Yeah, August Fagerstrom. You're thinking of probably Missy Perez, who used to work for the Indians?
No, I'm thinking. I thought he got hired by the Phillies. Maybe then he later got hired by the. I don't know. I just thought. I thought. What do you want from me?
No, August Fagerstrom works for the Brewers. Suspiciously close to after he joined them. They got Jesus Aguilar.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Right. And they also traded for Christian Yelich and got Lorenzo Cain. Now they're going to win the NL.
Did all the moves I wanted the Indians to do. Interesting. Interesting.
And I think he also cut his hair too. So I mean, it's just betrayal all around. So maybe I'm not rooting for the Brewers anymore. Maybe go Dodgers. A little gross.
Nope. Well, that show's over. Click. You're like the Yankees, but cool in West Coast guys. It's okay.
Oh God, the Yankees.
No, I want the Dodgers just to keep on just dominating, winning divisions, and constantly going to the division series or the championship series, and never winning a World Series ever again. And some weird Sisyphean. I don't know, hellscape where they just the most tortured fan base is somehow the one that wins 106 games every year.
How many times have they won the division in a row now? Like five?
I think six. It's last year was the most times a team has won the division in a row without winning a World Series ever. And then they didn't win the World Series. So they're setting records, baby. So good for them.
Is there any chance you think the Indians come close to that wonderful record? At least of winning the division that many times in a row.
They got, what, three in a row now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you figure they'll win next year, but after next year, it gets really hairy. I mean, the pitching staff's still going to be there. You don't know how things will develop, I guess, off the farm. I assume eventually they're going to be able to figure out how to make a relief pitcher after all these starting pitchers, eventually. Or maybe Corey Kluber's swan song will be becoming just a lethal reliever or something like that in his last year or two as a pitcher for the Indians. You know, like John Smoltz.
Yeah.
Which,
by the way, Smoltz is awful in the booth. I cannot.
I so rarely listen to him. So
he's one of the people who hates baseball, but for some reason still talks about it. Like, it's really
obnoxious. Who are these people? You know who's great? Is the guys who were doing the Indians games for TBS were fantastic. Don Orsillo and
Dennis Eckersley.
And Eckersley. They're fantastic. They're
not delightful. Great in a baseball analytical way, but as far as listening to them talk.
Oh, yeah, they're having a great time because they work together all the time. I don't know why I don't do that more often. Get crews like that. I don't think we talked about this last, because I think it happened since last week. But ESPN did their StatCast broadcast.
Yeah,
and that was awesome because they had Mike Petriello, and then they had the guy who does the play by play for the White Sox on TV. I don't remember his name, but he's fantastic. And then the third guy also. But they were delightful. And the guy who does the White Sox on TV is just – I think he might be one of the best announcers in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Like radio or TV. And it was very nice to listen to them talk about – they didn't shoehorn. And that's my one problem with any of those statistics-heavy broadcasts is when they start shoehorning stuff in, and they need to talk about it. But it was very organic because you can tell that guy – it's weird after watching White Sox games for so many years broadcast by Hawk Harrelson when you have a guy just casually citing fan graphs in the middle of a broadcast. What the hell's going on here? And Steve Stone's like, huh? he's very baffled half the time. But you can tell he appreciates it a little bit.
Yeah. No, I definitely don't need – I'm not required to have stats and stuff, but I would rather have no stats than using bad stats is basically where I'm at now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is the same philosophy for managers and stuff. I don't care if you're not, if you can manage and somehow make it work with your gut feelings and whatever, sure, fine, go for it. But when Tito's using pitcher matchups to make decisions and some other things that he does, I'm not a big fan of it. But the same with announcers, I guess. I just want announcers who like baseball.
Yeah, no, that's all I want.
The big stat guys, and the rest of them just hate everything now, and they want you to know how smart they are. And
well, I played the game. This is why this is stupid. Yeah, but you were terrible. good job, John. Yeah, so you're a Hall of Famer. That's cool. I don't care anymore because you keep on telling me that this is a bad thing. But he just hit a ball 150,000 feet. So they just won the World Series. I'm not sure if this is a bad thing or not.
Yeah, I mean, people complain about Rick Manning and Matt Underwood, but I don't feel like they hate baseball, so I don't think they're terrible. They're silly, so I think that gets on people's nerves a lot, that they're not the most analytical or
I love them.
Accurate announcers a lot of the times, but
they're not great. They're not great, any stretch of the imagination, but they're fine. You know,
I think that Underwood's pretty good. I think Rick Manning drags him down a little bit. I don't think Rick is a very good yes-ander, when they're trying to do anything.
Right.
He's really bad at that. He just has his own talking points in mind, and he's going to use those. He doesn't care what Matt Underwood says.
My two favorite Rick Manningisms is just well, there you go. And he just describes to tell you what happened. You go, yes, there you do go. Or when Underwood says anything, he goes, well, you're right. And he just goes off on some weird time.
Well, now I did a Rick Manning soundboard, so there's something for me to do over
the office. Right. There you go. And there you go. Another run. And there, see, 1, 2, 3 strikes. There you go. That's a strikeout. And there you go. I love Rick Manning. His teeth are beautiful.
They shine on TV.
Shine like a diamond in the sun. Hey, what do we think of Trevor Bauer as a reliever?
It's going great. I don't know what the hell. He just wasn't ready, I guess. I think he can be. I don't know if he wasn't healthy or I don't know. Those two errors. Did you see him at all? Or were you just too busy getting beer or whatever? They were bad.
I think I was still at work when that was happening, and I was just checking the GameCast on my phone, and I just, as soon as it all went sideways, I just turned my phone off and outside and was like, what the just staring off into space.
Yeah, so the pickoff to first, I don't know. It was such a weird motion the way he threw. You can't see it now, but I'm doing his arm was straight.
Oh, I see. Okay, go on. Good.
He just moved his forearm to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
put your elbow up and then just use your forearm. It was really weird. Like he wasn't putting anything into it.
Okay, I see.
And then, and then the one at second base was just complete airmail. I don't know what he was doing there. So I don't know how you get that bad at doing that kind of stuff.
He better not have the goddamn yips.
Constant practice, and he was just out of it. But
I hate watching John Lester enough once every couple weeks when they're talking about how much he has the yips. I don't need a pitcher I watch him once every 5 days having the yips.
They'll talk about Mike Clevenger, who's really good, and he's got a great pickoff move. He had a really bad throw, too, and let what is that really annoying guy who did really good today?
Tony Kemp?
That's the one.
Marwin Gonzalez. Okay,
yeah. Let him get to second from a bad pitch who eventually
Tony scored. Kemp was constantly advancing to second on my game cast.
Twice.
During pickoff, wild pitch, Tony Kemp advances to second. I'm like, again? So
you also missed another really good thing in this awful disaster of a game was Edwin Encarnacion when he scored in the, I think it was bottom of the ninth.
Uh-huh.
So he was on third base and there was a wild pitch and he just didn't want to go. He just stood there, but the Astros didn't bother throwing the ball. So he just looked around and slowly jogged in and everybody sarcastically cheered and he scored. You got to look up the highlight on that because it's so ridiculous. Because it was a really bad pitch, but nobody on the Astros
probably
heard.
Won't, honestly.
Were like nine.
I'm going to avoid baseball for that's like last year after the end of the series. I just didn't watch the entire championship series. I was like, this sucks.
I think I listened to some of the World Series. I still couldn't bring myself to watch. But this year doesn't feel like that. Like there's no collapse. That's the worst part. This really sucks getting swept like this. But there was no hope.
That's true. I tweeted that or something at the end of the game. I'm at least the Astros just cut him down just immediately. Just smacked it immediately. Like watching them just slowly fall apart against the Yankees, and especially being the Yankees last year was especially crippling. And not having to go through that again was at least some small blessing.
Yeah. So I feel like in the first time in a couple years, because 2016 obviously it was over, but I didn't want to think about baseball for a long time after that. But this year I'll probably watch a little bit of the playoffs. It just felt like the Indians were overmatched, which is more normal than going up by two against a team you looked really good against and then just shitting the bed completely.
It really did shit that bed. What's with Corey Kluber? Is this a conversation we're going to have now? Is this a thing we're going to have to talk about now? Like the next 3 years going into the playoffs, is Corey Kluber sucks, actually, it turns out. 2016 was a mirage.
It's really unfortunate. Him and Jose Ramirez. Like, obviously, one game can change all that, but until it happens, that's all we're going to hear. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what Jose does next year. It's going to be, well, he can't hit in the playoffs, so who cares?
I mean, it's poisoned no less than Clayton Kershaw. So I guess who are we to think that the Indians are anyone in the Indians is any better than Clayton Kershaw? So, he had one of his best starts, like, as a pitcher ever, his last time out against the Braves. And until he does that until he basically pulls a Corey Kluber plus Madison Bumgarner in the World Series back in, what was it, 2014 or whatever, everyone's going to just call him terrible. So I guess literally carrying a team to the brink of a championship and then falling apart because you're too tired is just not good enough.
Doesn't matter. It's always hilarious to me that people think that's not going to happen, but that's entirely what – I mean, especially like local Cleveland media, that's all it's going to be.
Yeah. Okay, I don't live anywhere near there. I live in a place where people don't even talk about baseball. Let's talk more about the Redskins. How's that sound?
And I tweeted out towards the end of the game that – like, if you thought Cleveland didn't care about the Indians before, now they got swept out of the ALDS, and also the Browns have Baker Mayfield and look like a real team.
Oh,
like, they have no chance.
No, that's it. This 3-year run here was their chance to, you know, re-ensconce themselves in the hearts and minds of Cleveland. Well, the Browns, although, again, the Browns still stink, so I don't know. Like,
Pardon me. I think they won.
Yeah, one of the worst games I've ever seen. That would be televised here because I get all Ravens games. That was dreadful. They also lost to the Raiders, who played one of the worst games I've ever seen also on Sunday.
Well,
so,
if they called fumbles, maybe that wouldn't happen. If they placed the ball right, maybe they would beat the Raiders. I don't know.
Okay, fine. I guess I have to send you all these pictures I have of freeze frames. My document entitled Raiders Defenses that I have to send to anyone who besmirches the greatness.
It's really sad that now I'm looking forward to watching the Browns. Now that
you suck, man. That's too bad.
It's really,
it's all right.
There's always sort of a sense of relief since I've been covering baseball when it's over. Like, I get nights back now. That's cool. But I'd like for once that sense of relief to be to come nice. After the feeling of winning a champ. Yeah, to feel nice.
Right, right.
Instead of, well, shit, that sucked. Now I guess I'll just go do other things.
Like, I can watch movies now. Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out yeah. at the end of the year, or end of the month, so I got that coming to look forward to.
Yeah, I got a lot of things backed up. And then, like, Assassin's Creed's going to be next. So, no. I mean, I do like that I have time to do things now. It's kind of cool.
I reiterate, Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out at the end of the month, so... I tried to play MLB The Show and I got overworked today. And I was like, what am I fucking doing? And I just put it down and walked away. I started reading a book I've never read before. So I got that going on for me.
Ew, gross.
No. 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Oh.
I'm fancy.
You are.
Well, not really. I haven't finished it. I'm like 40 pages in. I'm not yet fancy.
It is always a weird, isn't it? Like, since you've been following baseball to the point where you have to write about it and follow it every night, like, do you get that feeling of, I have so much free time now?
No, definitely. I said that to my wife earlier. I was like, well, I guess we get to do things again. She's like, oh, thank God. Yeah, right. It seems like every June or July when she realizes I'm going to be watching baseball for yet another night, she goes, I hate this sometimes. You know, I'm like, oh, you know, honestly, sometimes I do too.
Exactly. Especially this season. Sometimes I do.
Those Thursdays where they had an off day, I was like, oh, cool. I don't have to write an article, and I don't have to watch baseball. I might still watch some baseball, but, I mean, I don't have to. So, yeah, got that going on for me.
I don't know how those slackers that cover, like, football teams for Dogs by Nature or whatever, you have to watch a game once a week and then just...
Yeah, right?
7 days and get, like, three times as much traffic. Whatever, people.
Yeah, jerks.
We sacrifice.
Or actual professionals who are pro football writers.
Yeah, what I'm just sitting on my couch writing and complaining about it. But
exactly, like,
you know, if a game goes too late, I just go to bed. Yeah. While they're at the stadium for like an hour after.
Guys who actually cover the Browns or the, you know, like some of these guys are some of my favorite. Like, there's a guy who covers the Raiders who he writes for The Athletic now, so I can't read any of his work. But, you know, he's still one of the greatest reporters I've ever seen. But what does he do all week? He covers football and he covers boxing. So, like, he goes to Vegas on Saturday night and covers the Raiders on Sunday. What a perfect life.
I don't know about covering the Raiders is any kind of perfect, but...
Well, you know, you're still watching football. The other team could be good.
So, any final thoughts on whatever the hell that was? Or we just call it a night and maybe come back next week. Maybe go jump into a cliff. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I had some tweets here I wanted to look at. They all depressed me. I have to say, I really appreciate a man named Jordan Basti, and I think he is maybe the greatest beat reporter in all of baseball. You sometimes wonder about some of these guys only because they're like, you know, they work for the team ostensibly because they work for MLB.com, but he's very straight down the middle. You never catch any real bias from him, I guess.
I think the Indians are really spoiled with all the people they have.
Oh, yeah, because before him, they had Anthony Castrovince, who was, again, a total delight. And now he's just like a national reporter. So now they got Bastion, who's fantastic, too.
Who do they got the athletic crew now? And
by the way, Bastion came from the Blue Jays, too, which is, I think, kind of funny.
Yeah.
All the guys for the Athletic, Sawchik and Mizell, and really everyone except the people who write for Cleveland.com, pretty much, are all fantastic. Not that I don't like Paul Hoynes. I enjoy his existence, but
yeah, he seems like a really nice guy. I just don't want to read his baseball
sure.
stuff.
No, you know, I even like his baseball. It's good to have one curmudgeon amid all the people who really love it, but you don't want that people, that person being the one who's talking to you the most about it. I think
right.
is a real key. Right. Coming back to our Smoltz point of what the hell are you doing trying to ruin the sport?
And the Indians also have Andre Knott too, who I think is probably one of the best. He's not going to mm-hmm. last. Like, he's going somewhere eventually, which yes. makes me sad. He is yeah. too good to be stuck just covering one baseball team.
Let's see. That was a 95-mile-an-hour fastball that Gonzalez went up and got and sliced down the left field line. It was 4.22 feet off the ground, the second highest pitch he's ever hit. Let's see. Any other good nuggets?
Any other depressing things before we go?
Oh, here's a good one. First six innings versus Clevinger and Bauer. 4-for-22, one run. Next three innings versus Bauer, Miller, Allen, Hand, and Simber. 9-for-19 and 10 runs. Oh, my stomach hurts. Adam Simber needs to learn another pitch. Something else. He needs a third thing. You know, he needs to learn a slider. Because what's he got right now? Does he have a slider right now? Yeah. Does he have a changeup? One of the two. Who's he good against? He's good against righties. He needs to learn a changeup. Yeah, okay. So get lefties out. The Indians hit 144 with 6 runs in ALDS, 2 runs via Lindor solo homers, 2 runs via wild pitch, 1 via sac fly, and 1 via ground out. Wait, what?
In other news,
that seems wrong.
Destroying the Yankees. That's kind of
good. I hate the Yankees.
You don't even live in New York. I live in New York. You want to talk about hating the Yankees?
I grew up in Connecticut, all right?
What? It's not even New York. It's like Red Sox territory.
It was mostly Yankees stuff. It was more on the other side. A couple of Mets fans. They were nice.
Seemed like Mets and there's always like Mets and Jets are tied together, and then there's the Giants
and the Nets too. This guy was also a Nets fan. He was very sad about sports, no matter what.
Yeah, that's like the B team of New York. I think is the Nets, the Mets, and the Jets. Well, they all rhyme. Mm-hmm. I never noticed that before.
No, I know it's crazy out there. And then of course you have the Islanders, which also doesn't rhyme, but you know whatever.
And the Islandettes.
And the island and the eyelets. The eyelets. You know, the things at the very end of a shoelace. The eyelet. Yeah.
Those things. All right, Merritt. We'll see you.
Are we done?
Maybe we'll do every other week. I'm not sure yet for the off season. I guess it depends on what we talk about.
I just keep on doing it every week and just talk about other stuff too.
Yeah, sure. I don't think people will mind. They're here for us, Merritt. They don't care about
baseball. Yeah, exactly. It's about the personalities.
Right.
Matt.
These exciting personalities.
You know, it's a podcast. We're like their friends that they never get to talk to.
Everybody listening, you can talk to me while we're talking. I won't. You can just mute Merritt somehow. If you can find a way to like mute the Merritt track, I'll put out like a me only track, and then people can just talk to me. And then
maybe over the off season, what we'll do is we'll develop a third character named I don't know Carl, and every 15 minutes we'll just pause and say, "What do you think, Carl?" And we just won't say anything for 30 seconds or so. And that can be you, the listener, time to chip in, chime in.
You'll be like, whoa, Carl, what was that?
Oh, no.
You can't say that on a podcast.
Mute him. Thank you.
Anyway, talk to you next week, Merritt.
So long.